everybody, and welcome to CanQueer, Canada's queer news source. I'll be your host today, Sebastian. I'll be flying solo, and there's a lot going on here. It's been a bit of a complicated week, and I think we'll be sharing some of that complicated week with you. Luke is away right now, and all the guests that I had lined up had fallen through for various reasons, and we'll also get to that. It's been kind of interesting. Where should we start? We should start with some news. We'll keep it nice and light, and then we'll go to music, because this is an old trick that Luke and I used to use when we had guests not be able to make it. And one of our guests is a regular listener, and I'll be teasing him, her, or themselves a little bit throughout this episode. You know, I love you, but, you know, you're having a bad week, and I'm gonna kick you while you're down, just like life has been... No, I'm not gonna do that. Anyway, all right, so... right, so the old trick we used to play, Luke and I, is we would just play more music. So, we're gonna play some music, play a little bit more music than usual. We're gonna play music that we wouldn't normally play, because we're gonna be playing... normally the music that we play is sort of a joint effort between Luke and I, where we both look up music, I make recommendations, he ignores a lot of them because he doesn't like my taste, but to be fair, he does tend to choose things that are a little bit more radio-friendly. I'm going to be choosing things that are more radio-friendly than you might expect, but yeah, Luke is probably listening to this episode right now just cringing at the thought of what's going to happen. So, the upcoming election, being just me today, there's kind of... I don't know if it's appropriate for me to go into it a little bit too much. I like the idea of having somebody else here whenever I'm talking politics so that, you know, we can sort of balance each other out and try to check each other's biases and make sure that we don't fall too hard on one side or the other, or that if we're criticizing that it's a fair criticism. So we're going to keep it nice and light, but there is the election coming up, and it is pretty important. So, the only major follow-up for the election news is the woman from BC, the representative, not the representative, what am I talking about? The candidate from BC that we brought up last week, Heather Leung, who spoke out at a public event that the education system is promoting the homosexual agenda, has been let go as a conservative representative. And Andrew Scheer, the leader of the Conservative Party, of course, has not commented one way or another about the expulsion of Heather Leung from the Conservative Party. Now, it's kind of interesting because this could be one of two things. This could be either that there is a socially progressive side to the Conservative Party and they don't want this around, or it could be that it's just bad optics and they don't want it around. But either way, even if it's, let's take the most cynical approach possible and just assume for a second that they only care about the optics. They care about the optics. That's something, you know. It's easy to read into this. Easy to read into the fact that nothing is happening, that Scheer won't comment, that the various representatives of the Conservative Party won't comment. But the fact that they did it, I think, says something. Maybe it's not enough for you. Probably it's not enough for you. Maybe it is enough for you. But I think it is. It's a good sign that they did let Heather Leung go. And on top of that, nobody is the devil that we make them out to be, and I think this is just sort of contributing to this, you know, the news cycle. I've been getting all sorts of messages from Luke, not from Luke, but Luke posts on the various social media platforms about media literacy and things like that. The importance of being critical of what you hear on air, including from Luke and myself, obviously, because people have their biases. They also have ad revenue to sell. You know, they're going to say that so-and-so destroyed so-and-so at a debate, or they may say that somebody crushed so-and-so with their arguments. The moment you see that, you should be skeptical. I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical of myself right now, and I'm speaking. So yeah, the Andrew Scheer thing, I don't know. I'm neutral about it. I think it's better than bad. No. It's more less bad than... I don't know, I can't calculate this. So as the episode goes on, I'm going to pepper in bits and pieces about why I'm doing this episode solo. We're going to start with the fact that there's some recent tech news that I wanted to go into. And Ottawa is nicknamed Silicon Valley North, for those of you who don't know, this is a major site for the tech industry. And although a lot of people think of Ottawa as a government town, and obviously it is the nation's capital, it's also sort of a crossroads between Quebec and Ontario on account of the relationship between Hull and Ottawa. So there's a lot of relationships there. And then you've got the municipal level and the National Capital Commission, which is sort of a blend of the municipal, provincial, and federal. You got all that going on. But if you look at the demographic information for Ottawa, which I have because I'm a nerd, there's like 0.2% more people who work in the tech industry than in government. And you might think that that's peculiar, but, you know, the Canadian head office of Google is here. The Canadian head office of Microsoft is here. The global head office of Shopify, SurveyMonkey, and I think MailChimp is here. You know, you've got offices for Adobe and Corel, and by the way, Corel still exists, and BlackBerry still exists, by the way, which is unfathomable, but they're really good at making custom orders, it turns out. That's how they survived. Point being, all sorts of interesting things happening right now in the tech world with Google and especially YouTube and how they're filtering out the word gay. And I got a series of guests who could have been potentially interesting to talk about this. And all of them had to pull out at the last minute because they weren't sure how appropriate it would be to talk on air about this, given who they work for. And of course, you know, trying to be, you know, a gregarious and warm guy, I said, you could go under a pseudonym. You could be, you know, Captain Sparkles, and we could do an interview with you just about the nature of coding itself, and the audience will just have to take your word for it that what you're talking about is valid. And but yeah, no, at the last minute, none of them felt comfortable coming on air, so that fell through. As a backup, because of the upcoming election, we have various, actually, friends of the show who are former guests, who are hosts of sort of, I guess you could call them sister podcasts, other people that we just trust in the city, and because they work for the government, the other major employer in town, they didn't feel comfortable going on record talking about politics because it's kind of inappropriate to do so in the weeks leading up to an election. So a lot of them had to cancel. And Luke is away on a business trip. So everything last minute, and here I am. And I'll tell you about more about what happened to my week soon after. But I think first what we'll do is we'll go to some music. This week, in the absence of Luke, we're going to be playing genres that never made it on the radio, mostly because they're hard to market. And I love the idea of college and community radio being that place where you discover new and weird stuff. So the 80s became the 80s because of community radio. So we're going to be playing some post-rock today, and what is loosely known as freak folk. And if you're thinking, what is post-rock? It's actually a term from the mid-90s, so it's not this weird hipster thing. Well, it is a hipster thing. It's a pre-hipster thing, the sort of 90s Lisa Loeb hipster, if that makes any sense to you. But the idea behind post-rock is that it sounds like rock, but the structure is different. It doesn't have that ABABCBA structure that you hear in a lot of pop songs, the chorus and refrain and the bridge and all that. Or maybe they have the same instruments as a rock band, but they're playing something different. And we're going to start with a band called Places Erupt, which used to be called Benefit of the Freeman. And I actually had a really good interview with them years back, and I really enjoyed their company. They were a lot of fun to hang out with. I kind of wanted to make out with the drummer, but that's neither here nor there. Had a wonderful interview with them, and due to a technological malfunction, lost the entire interview. And I ran into the cellist from Places Erupt at an event back in the summer. And it turns out she remembered me, and I remembered her. I actually vaguely recognized her. And we got to chatting, and she said, the reason why you can't find us online anymore is because they changed their name. So you might be able to find them under the name Benefit of the Freeman, but they are called Places Erupt now. They're the Toronto band. They're fantastic. We're gonna start with their track, Storm, and we'll be right back.
Status quo, it will not do. Obstacles be damned, let's see this. time for a shuffle. Yes, it's time now. It's no time to be muffled. Never a time, never a minute now.
And we're back. And following Places Erupt, you heard Yeti from Caribou. Caribou used to be called Manitoba, and but then they got sued. They couldn't call themselves Manitoba because... And it wasn't the province. It was, I think it was another band called Manitoba who sued them. Maybe it was the province. I don't know. Anyway, it was Caribou. The track was called Yeti. The guy's from Dundas, Ontario. It's fantastic. So yeah, moving on. Let's get to some more news. Good news from, well, I mean, not necessarily good news. A good follow-up to a bad story from Staunton, Saskatchewan. So off in Staunton, Saskatchewan in the summer, Staunton Central School had a rainbow flag out front during Pride Week. And during Pride Week, their rainbow flag, their pride flag got burned down. So, you know, that's a bit dramatic. They recently managed to put up a new flag commemorating Coming Out Day. We're going to get to that in a sec, because there's a whole bunch of really interesting stories with, you know, this year's Coming Out Day. But they left the pride flag up for 3 days because it was burned down with 3 days left of Pride Week. And so it was partly to sort of complete the week and finish what they started, which was kind of nice symbolism there. And partly also to commemorate Coming Out Day. Also part of Coming Out Week, now that we're on the topic, the CTV news anchor Leslie Roberts came out as gay on Coming Out Day. He had privately come out to his family in the 90s, but due to a negative reaction, he decided to stay quiet about it. And recently, because of Mayor Jim Watson coming out, Leslie Roberts felt that it was time for him to come out as well. And this is a very exciting thing that kind of happens. I think it seems peculiar to people why you would have a coming out day. You should come out whenever you feel ready. And generally speaking, I would agree with that. You should, whenever you're ready, you should come out. And if you're not ready, don't come out. You know, if you're not emotionally in a space where you can handle it, you're just going to cause yourself trouble. So be patient. It's okay. Get your life in order. Emotionally get yourself in order. Find the right words, that sort of thing. But it is very important, I would say, to have that singular coming out day that inspires people. And it doesn't need to be a national holiday. I think this is one of the other things that makes people a little bit uneasy when you have a day for absolutely everything. This isn't a day where we're expecting parades, when we're expecting, you know, sales at department stores. I personally would be awkward if I were in class or something and everybody stood on their chairs and applauded me for having come out a million times over. And this is actually something that Gary Lacasse from the Canadian AIDS Society has said many times, that coming out is an iterative process. You come out to your family, you come out to your coworkers, you come out to your friends. Something happens in your life, you change jobs, you move city, you have to come out all over again. You're never done coming out. But for people where it's their first time, they may not necessarily feel comfortable. And having that one day that kind of reminds them that coming out is a thing, and then they can see other people coming out, I think that's pretty exciting. That's a very inspirational thing. I also think it's important to not have too many stories. I like the idea of spreading it out over time, because if everybody comes out all at once, then what's going to be your generation's thing? When I was a teenager watching Scott Thompson come out on Kids in the Hall, that was very inspirational for me. Other people were inspired by various Olympic athletes or other people throughout time. I've heard a lot of people say that when Elton John came out, that kind of inspired them. So it's pretty important, I would say, to have this sort of thing spread out over time. And Jim Watson specifically, as a politician and not as an artist or an entertainer or, I don't know, a fashion designer or something sort of more by the book, stereotypically gay, the fact that it is a politician, I think that's pretty important. You know, the Amazing Randy, the magician and debunker of psychic phenomenon, I guess you could call him. He came out years ago, and a lot of people were kind of confused about that. And Darren Brown, the mentalist in the UK. I think it's important to have a nice variety of people coming out and not just attractive white 19-year-old musicians. I think it's pretty important to cross the spectrum. And speaking of which, the American track and field Olympian, Karen Clement, who won multiple, well, by multiple, I mean three gold medals in the Olympics, recently came out as well. And this is pretty important as well, because he is an African-American who came out. And having that sort of inspiration within sports, which is sort of traditionally homophobic, coming out is also very, well, not traditionally homophobic. I should say stereotypically homophobic. Because the good news is that with athletics, independent athletics, it's a little bit less dangerous than with team sports. you know, now we have Karen Clement coming out. We had Mark Tewksbury come out in the 90s, and he was a swimmer. There was, and Tom Daley, the Olympic diver as well. So when you're on your own and it's just you and, you know, you versus the field or you versus the time limit, it's very different than if it's you on a team. And I personally cannot explain why. That is not my experience. I'm not an athlete. We could get people in to talk about it. That'd be great. Actually, there are a few. I am working on getting guests in to talk about homophobia in the sports world. But some of these things take a while to brew, as evident by the fact that we had several guests have to cancel at the last minute this week. So going on, I'm going to continue the story about my complicated week. Let me tell you about what's been happening to me. So today is Monday morning. On Saturday, I had to move. And, well, I didn't have to move. I was moving. So I am currently in an unpacked bedroom that is floor to ceiling with boxes just waiting to go. I am sore all over because I feel that it is not appropriate for me to ask other people to help me move and not put in 110%. You know, I went out there, I picked up the heavy thing. I picked up the heaviest thing so that other people wouldn't have to pick up the heaviest thing, and lifting it up and down and into the truck and out of the truck and up the stairs and down the stairs and all that. And now let me tell you something, my buns and thighs are super sore. Now it's good in the long run because I got a buns and thighs workout, because buns and thighs are super important, you know, if you're single, as some ladies are, such as myself. And unpacking and packing, and I had no idea where my computer went or where the microphone went or where any of the equipment went. So a little bit of tardiness there. If you're one of the stations that we broadcast out of, apologies for not being up on Sunday as we usually do. I am doing what I can. And this is all in the context of a medical emergency. And I will get to that medical emergency. I will leave you on Spilkas while we go to another music break. So going around the world now, we're going to do a little bit more of that sort of post-rock feel. Going off to Iceland now with Jönsi. If you're familiar with the name Jönsi, he used to be in the band Sigur Rós. And if you're not familiar with the name Sigur Rós, Sigur Rós is a Icelandic post-rock band that I really like, but no, they're not very radio-friendly. They're deliberately quite sullen. But when Jönsi did his solo career, it was very effervescent. So we're going to go now to Jönsi and Animal Arithmetic, and we'll be right back. Wake up, cut my hair, making food disappear. Riding bikes, making out elephants, run you down. You and I run away, blessing geeks, howling wolves, cut up more fireworks. Every time, everyone, everything's full of love.
I see you spinning for you in the breeze.
Hello and welcome back. After Yunsi, we played Endless Stillness by God as an Astronaut. God as an Astronaut being an Irish post-rock band who admittedly is very soundtracky, but one of my favorite post-rock bands, actually. Since I've started getting into post-rock, they've been pretty key, pretty core to my sort of post-rock playlist. So before we went off to break, I hinted at a medical emergency. Now, those of you who may know me may have noticed that I have what is known as the googly eyes. And I do have the googly eyes because when I was in my 20s, I was diagnosed with what's called Graves' eye disease. It's an autoimmune disorder. Basically, my immune system is attacking my own eyes and it causes inflammation and sometimes my eyes pop out. If you ever saw Young Frankenstein, the guy who played Igor with his eyes like way out, that is an extreme version of what I have. And as it happened over the past week, I had a bit of a flare-up. A little bit of eye pain, a little bit of blindness, but not actual blindness, so don't freak out. It was intermittent partial blindness, so basically just spots and blurry, and I couldn't quite see, and you have to sort of angle your head to be able to see at the part of your eye that is still visible. It was not great, so ran off to the hospital late at night because, oh, and also some pain. Pain in your eyes is not great, and it wasn't a lot of pain. It wasn't like give me some painkillers pain. But a little bit of pain in your eyes is not a good sign, as well as blind spots. So I was sort of rushed in, given all sorts of emergency ophthalmology appointments. And yeah, my vision is probably fine. Somebody finally looked at it. They put in the eye drops that make your pupils as large as the sun. If you've ever had those eye drops in, you basically can't see for 20 minutes because, well, no. You can see, but you can see everything because all the light is getting in. It's a real migraine. But yeah, they said, my vision is pretty good. I'm not going to go blind. The pain is weird. And they don't think this is Graves' eye disease. They think it's something else causing the Graves' eye disease to flare up again. I don't know what that means. But, you know, if you want to contact us to say hello or to give us, you know, words of encouragement, or if you are, you know, someone who's LGBT and you have health problems and, you know, you'd like for us to address it on the air because there's a lot of issues to do with intersecting with the community if you have disabilities or if you have sensory issues, you know, feel free to contact us at TalkCanQueer on Twitter. We used to have a Facebook and I'm pretty sure it's on there. Just look for us on TalkCanQueer. You can also listen to us at canqueer.podbean.com. We're also on Spotify. We're also on Stitcher. We're also on the Apple Store. The Apple Store? No. I don't know. iTunes, that's the one. We're also on that one if you want to listen to us on your own time as a podcast. But let's get back to some news. Good news from the Yukon, or potentially good news from the Yukon. I'm going to say probably good news. If news went to school, I would give this news story an A- in its goodness. So there is currently a petition going around in the Yukon to ban conversion therapy in the territory. The Minister for the Women's Directorate, Jeannie Dendis, has basically said at this point in time, it kind of doesn't matter how the petition goes, because as far as she's concerned, she's going to basically champion the issue. There's no reason to not ban conversion therapy in the Yukon, she has said. I have not seen the phrasing on it either way. As you know, I'm kind of hesitant about bans on... Well, I'm not hesitant on bans on conversion therapy. I think it should be absolutely banned. But I also think that if you don't get the phrasing right, you might accidentally ban other things as well. And that's just me being a policy nerd. But they're looking at a full ban. So even if you're a consenting adult, no conversion therapy permitted in the Yukon. And also, they're going to go the extra mile to say, if you take a youth out of the territory to get conversion therapy in a neighboring region, that will also count. I mean, I think that's fantastic news. I look forward to this. It's in the early stages. It's probably going to go through. And now moving on to a little bit of international news. There was two stories in particular that kind of jumped out at me. One of them from Uganda. So we gave some pretty good news back in the spring, Luke and I did, on this show, which is CanQueer, which you're listening to right now. I'm Sebastian. Did I introduce myself? Hello, I'm your host, Sebastian. I feel like I should do that more often. We should introduce ourselves. Because if you're a new listener, you may not know that I'm Sebastian. Also know that I'm usually here with somebody else called Luke. And he's Welsh, but he doesn't have his Welsh accent unless he's been drinking gin. He just normally sounds generically British. But yeah, no, with the gin, the Welsh comes out. Anyway, so news story from Uganda, a follow-up to a story that we covered back in the spring here on CanQueer, that the government had repealed the what was known as the Kill the Gays law, which basically said that anybody arrested on the crime of homosexuality could potentially also be given the sentence of capital punishment. So basically that the state would kill any of the people that they would arrest for the crime of being a gay person in Uganda. Now, that was eventually repealed by the courts of Uganda, saying that this was a holdover from the colonial era. It had no place in modern Uganda. It wasn't supported by any other laws in the legal structure, and the whole thing basically could be gotten rid of. Unfortunately, there's an update to that update, which says that the current sitting government is, well, the president and his team are working at putting in new Kill the Gay laws with obligatory death penalty for the crime of homosexuality in Uganda. From what I've been able to see, it is in the process of being instilled and it hasn't actually been passed yet. It's hard to get accurate and up-to-date information from Uganda. It's easy to get information, but it's hard to get accurate and up-to-date information, especially on things like this where they're trying to hush it away from the international courts, trying to get the UN to not notice. You kind of can't get the UN to not notice when you make homosexuality punishable by death, but they're kind of casually attempting to do so. Hopefully this will have a happier ending than having capital punishment for homosexuality. And if you're wondering what do they say about trans people or bisexual people, well, unfortunately, the kind of people who would make homosexuality punishable by death are probably not enlightened enough to notice that bisexuality is not exactly identical to homosexuality. And they're probably also not exactly enlightened enough to notice that being trans and just being of a different gender expression is different from being homosexual. So it's basically the Kill the Gays law is just capturing everyone, or at least they tend to in the various, I think, 80 plus countries where there's various laws against just being gay. So this is the world we live in, folks, and it's better than it used to be, but we got a long way to go. And speaking of which, there is another story from Saudi Arabia where there was a YouTube influencer, a 23-year-old Suhail Al-Jamil, who, like a lot of the YouTube influencers, just sort of, the openly gay ones anyway, there is this entire subgenre of gay men who give makeup tips, they do travel blogs, they might do their own little dance videos, or they might promote musicians that they like, and he was arrested and might face up to 3 years in prison for public nudity and distributing immoral materials online. And you might be wondering, what is it that he did on YouTube, which has filters? There was a scene of him wearing short shorts, leopard print short shorts, on a beach. So that therefore counts as public nudity. Now, granted, I am a prude, and I jokingly refer to men who are not wearing shirts as being naked and saying, I don't like summer because I don't like naked people. Even, you know, even if they have an attractive torso, I don't want to see that when I'm out and about. But that's also 90% sarcasm. This is actually happening, that somebody is, this is like the stories you read about the Victorian era where there was a woman and she exposed her ankle and it caused a riot. And even people within Saudi Arabia are looking at this incident and saying that's bizarre and bit of a bridge too far. Hopefully it does not come down to 3 years in prison for wearing leopard print short shorts on a beach. So if there's any follow-up to that, we'll let you know about this case of Suhail Al-Jamil. Otherwise, that looks like most of the news from this week. There will be, Luke will be back in town, and next week you'll get more than just me talking and more than six, in the end, tracks of post-rock, which admittedly is not necessarily for everyone, but that's fine, because it doesn't have to be for everyone, so long as we mix it up and eventually we ping everyone eventually. But I do like to let people in on what's happening in the world in terms of music. Although this, granted, is mostly a 90s and 2000s genre, it's not really as happening as it used to be. But I always wanted to play post-rock on the show because it is two things. First of all, it is very Canadian, so a lot of the foundational bands and very popular bands in the genre are Canadian. The most well-known of which probably being Godspeed You Black Emperor, but you can't really play Godspeed You Black Emperor on the radio because their average track is like 20 minutes long, so the best you can do is like a 3-minute excerpt of a track. That's not quite the same. And the other thing is that post-rock is really, really, really queer. There are a lot of bands with that are sort of lumped into the post-rock genre where all or most of the members of the band are LGBT. Places Erupt, I don't know if they've changed their lineup, but when we interviewed them, they were all queer except for the lead singer. Yunsi is queer from Sigur Rós, and there's a lot of it. And if you go to a concert, there's two things that jump out at you. First of all, there's a whole lot of people who are definitely LGBT. You know, it's one thing to say that we're just like everybody else, but some of us are visible minorities. We're from 200 paces. You're like, I bet that's a gay man. It does happen. And sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes there's just very boisterous heterosexual men. So you shouldn't assume, but sometimes it's a less unfair assumption than others. And the other thing is that when you go to concerts, post-rock concerts, there's a certain, let's say, skunky odor in the air. It attracts a certain crowd, let's say. But anyway, that's about all the time we have for. You can contact us at TalkCanQueer on Twitter, or come to our website if you want to listen to some of our archival material. We're going to play out with two tracks. The first being Do Make Say Think, a band from Toronto who got their name, from what I understand, they actually formed in middle school and they've been together for like 30, 40 years. We're going to play out with a band called Do Make Say Think. They're from Toronto. We're going to play their track In Mind. And after that, we're going to finish up with a British group called Tung, T-U-N-N-G. They deliberately chose a name that is hard to pronounce because they're being clever, because they're little hipsters, which makes me feel guilty saying this, but that's part of why I love them, because admittedly enough, I too am a dirty, dirty hipster, but I do not have a mustache, so I'm not a full hipster, but I know what I am. I know what I am. We'll be playing out with Bullets by Tung. And so this has been CanQueer. I have been your host, Sebastian, and thank you for listening.
thousand enemies. These things, they make us sentimental inside. Your words are gel ignite, or just another sentimental aside. We're catching bullets in our teeth, and though it's easy if you know how it's done, they split the secret up six ways before they gave it to us just before dawn. And now we don't remember. Our blood and guts are out. We spread our bones across the table at night. We cut our fingers off to give ourselves those little extra insides. We're catching bullets in our teeth, and though they try hard not to say how it's done, they always do. They spill the secret our six ways and beg for our forgiveness just before dawn. And now we don't remember. In our teeth, it's hard to do, but they taste sweet. And if they take a couple out, we try to work things out. We're catching bullets with our heads and hearts and all the darkest parts of us. It's strange to find such lights in such endless nights. So sweet to lose a friend. You leave the church and taste the air in your
na na na. Mm-hmm.